WGBB.
From the heart of the Nautical Mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Pow! Let the Holy Spirit enter you. Pentecost Sunday, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. Tony, you have to be careful when you do pow.
I see you jump.
You missed my nose by an inch. I admit my nose is large, but you missed it by an inch. And I don't want to bleed all over the table.
I don't want to scare you. I'm sorry. But you know what? I got to put some enthusiasm in what I'm doing, right? This is the Holy Spirit. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. This is the month of May, the month of Blessed Mother Mary.
Yeah.
This is so much to get excited about.
You're such a fanatic.
I love Jesus.
Just take God in stride. He's nice and soft and gentle and caring.
All right.
I never go wild like
No, are you? And that is, what's your name again?
Dr. John
and
Palmer.
That's Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we're two old men that are in love with Jesus.
We most certainly are.
And we got a great show lined up. Tell them about it, Doc.
We're going to have, hopefully, if the connection works out on the telephone, Stephen McDonald and his wife, Patty, will be with us today.
What a thrill.
And the audience may not know, but Stephen is a police officer who many years ago was shot and paralyzed on the job. And as we go along, we'll see what he has to say. We hope we get through to him. Trevor's calling him now.
And by the way, he certainly is spiritual, certainly has a love for the Blessed Mother Mary. And we're going to sort of like dedicate today's show to the Blessed Mother.
You know what I think we could do while we're waiting for Stephen?
Well, Trevor's on the phone now.
Okay. I'm going to do is we interviewed Stephen a while back, and we're going to play his interview.
So let's do that until he calls us back.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see if it works.
Good idea, John. Wow. John is the executive producer, by the way. I voted for him.
Yeah. I'm only the executive producer when there's a problem.
As long as he doesn't ask for a raise or anything like that, he could continue on his great job.
We're very happy today to have Stephen McDonald with us. And many of you may not know Stephen or know his story, but wait until you hear it. I think you'll be impressed by it. And we're going to ask Stephen not only to share his story, but to tell us a little bit, how did his relationship with the Blessed Mother and with Jesus change as a result of all the things that he experienced? Hi, Stephen, how are you? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay,
I think
we're going to record. And for people listening, we're recording this over the telephone, and we hope it all works.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so glad I could get you. I was really worried Saturday. I didn't want to wait to the last minute. That's why we're calling you in advance. Can you tell us, can you tell the people listening about your story and what happened?
Yeah, well, I'm a third-generation New York City police officer, and I've been married to Patty Ann Norris for 25 years this past November.
Wow, and they said it wouldn't last, even.
Yes, well, she's a great lady, as many of your listeners know, and she's the strength of love and faith in my family. But, I was shot as a young New York City police officer, almost 25 years ago, and it'll be 25 years this coming July. So, as a result of all of what I just mentioned to you, my family growing up, and the family that I married into, the woman I married, the job that I'm married to, and the church that I'm a part of, God has done some wonderful things through me and my family, and I'm just very grateful for all of it.
And so are we, because we know some of the things that you do. And for people who don't know, Stephen was really left paralyzed. And you almost died, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was left for dead, and I should have died, but...
We're glad you didn't.
No, as am I glad. Patty Ann's kind of saying during this journey that we've been on that I believe in very much, and it explains much of what's happened in my life and our lives together, and it goes, there are no coincidences in life, only God incidents. And Pope John Paul II, who will be beatified this May, he said it a little differently, but the same thought. He said, in life there are no mere coincidences. So the day that I was shot, I was up in the northern northeastern corner of Central Park, as many may know, may not know it, right in the middle of Manhattan Island. It's over 800 acres large, north, south, east, and west. It's in the middle of Manhattan Island, and I was shot in the northern eastmost corner of the park by this 15-year-old, and as it turns out, the meadow that I was shot in by this young teenager, 20-30 years earlier, was a convent. It was a the Sisters of Charity, Elizabeth Ann, St. Elizabeth Ann Sisters, Eaton's sisters, had built a convent. Back then it was known as McGowan's Path. But if you go there today, there's a historical marker that tells you that much. And so I have often thought that what a holy place, holy ground it is, how many rosaries, how many prayers, corporal works of mercy, masses, all of that.
Protected you.
I should have died many times from that. When I was, my partner called for help, and when they found my partner, Sergeant Peter King, he was sitting on the ground. He was covered in my blood. He was crying, holding me in his arms, and rocking back and forth. The police officers picked us up, put us in the back of the police car, and they raced to Metropolitan Hospital, which is about 15 blocks away, and I should have died many times. In fact, the first surgeon came out and said to the police commissioner, this kid's going to die. You better bring his family here to say goodbye. And there was a good Catholic detective, his name is Brian Mulheron, who worked with the police commissioner's office. He was standing there, and he heard that, and he said, and he is a daily communicant. He was married to the job, since retired, but he heard that message that the surgeon brought with the operating room, and he said, no, he's not going to die. He's going to live, and they put me on a special ambulance, and within a few days, they saved my life down in Bellevue Hospital. So that's my story.
Wow. Well, that's just the beginning of the story and how your life changed, eh?
Yes. Well, Mayor Koch, when he arrived, Mayor Ed Koch, he's a great supporter of our church. Mayor Koch once said the only acceptable bias left in the world is anti-Catholicism, and I think that says everything you need to know about Mayor Ed Koch. He's a devout, prayerful man of the Jewish faith, but great defender of our faith. And when he arrived, he saw my mom and father, my mother and father-in-law, my wife, my young wife, and others praying the rosary, and he was that touched by that witness of faith that he called the residents up on Fifth Avenue, Cardinals residents, Madison Avenue, and he told me something he never done before, and he said, your eminence, that you need to come down to this hospital right away. And within 24 hours, Cardinal O'Connor arrived, and he was so touched by, again, the witness of faith that I shared with everyone, and the rest of our family members, and he said, I will always have Mass said at Stephen's bedside while he's at Bellevue Hospital. And so every day thereafter, through the summer of 1986, the fall and the winter, Jesus was there at my bedside, the cardinal, the police chaplain, Martina John Cassidy, Father Michael Judge, who is the fire chaplain, who died in the World Trade Towers. He was among those priests that brought the Eucharist in the Mass to my bedside. My mother remembers, very close to my mother, she remembers a Mass early on. After the shooting, I was still intubated. It's a medical term, meaning had the tube that's in my throat today in my trachea, my windpipe was down my mouth into my windpipe. And so he, whoever the priest was, could not give me the Eucharist, and he touched my forehead, and my mom says to me today that she felt that Jesus touched us all, but touched me more importantly in a very powerful way. So I was, believe me, I was terribly injured. I was close to dying one day, living the next, wanting to die a week later. It was a very difficult time in my life, but God has a way of working on people like me, and he helped me survive that. And my, I opened my heart with his help, the Holy Spirit's help, to hear the Word of God, and the Eucharist changed me in a powerful way. And in January of 87, 6 months after the shooting, Patty Ann gave birth to our child, my only child, son, Connor, and we had his baptism at Bellevue Hospital. And it was there, that was March of 1987, that I told the world, because it was a big media event, certainly New York City, the country, and around the world, people heard that I forgave the young man who shot me, that was all the doing of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and the Father in heaven, and Our Lady's prayers for me, to all of them, and so it just been a wonderful. So I wish I could move my arms, which I can. I haven't been able to hold Patty in my arms in all this time. It's just terribly hard on the two of us, and I've never been able to have a catch with my son, which I look forward to when I was a boy growing up with my dad, who was a police officer. When he would come home late at night, I would talk him into having a catch. I lived at Rockville Center. My family were members of St. Agnes Cathedral Parish, and so my dad would make it home, and we would have a catch. And I look forward to that if we had a daughter or son. It was something I thought about ahead of time, and now that I've never been able to do that. Connor now has graduated from Chaminade in Boston College, and wow, as many people know, he became the fourth generation of my family to be sworn in as a New York City police officer. So that's it.
Well, you know, again, I think what maybe you can comment. A lot of people don't believe in true presence in the Eucharist, and I know that you do.
Oh, yeah.
How did God touch you during those times? How would you? How can you explain to others that this is for real?
And I know, Stephen, you're on the phone now, are you not?
Not yet.
All right, just another moment. Okay. And that particular tape, Tony, we did over a year and a half ago, and with Stephen on the phone, it was just kind of very powerful for me. And I'm glad we had a chance to play it now, because the listeners may not know his story, and he has told it so nicely. And I think Patty's going to be on the phone with him today.
She was there, yes.
And we're going to ask her as well, because we heard Stephen's discussion of how he came through this. And I'd love to know how Patty handled this. Mm-hmm. And I know as a couple, they're devoted to the Blessed Mother. And we can, as we're waiting, just, Trevor, if you can, I know you're doing two things at once. Here he is. I think we got him now. Are you there, Stephen? 1 minute. Okay. All right. So listen.
Trevor's setting it up now.
Yeah, just be patient. I could put a song on, but I won't.
No, let's go right into it.
As long as we got him. Things coming. Here he goes. Stephen, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good. You?
Good. You know what we did? We just played your testimony from the first time you were on the show.
A year and a half ago. It was wonderful.
Is Patty there with you as well?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get back.
Okay.
Okay, right. Well, that's all right. You know,
by the way, detective...
We'll see. Yeah. I'm hoping to get
okay. All right.
She was just operated on, so...
Oh, is she all right?
Yeah, she has crippling arthritis, so they...
Oh.
She was in North Shore yesterday.
Oh boy.
Surgery, yeah.
She'll be in our prayers as you are.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Tony Chiffo, Steve.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. You're such an honor and a pleasure to have you. Really is. And
but, you know, Stephen, I don't want you to get a big head. He says that to everybody.
No.
Well, I believe it.
That's my partner. That's the grumpy old Dr. Palmer.
You know what we wanted to kind of focus on because of your prayer group experience? The dedication that you and Patty have to Mary and how Mary carried you through so many of these concerns over how many years? 30-plus years, right?
27 years.
27,
oh. You have a prayer group for Mary, do you not?
I have several.
Yeah.
How did you ever get involved with Mary?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How did you ever get involved with Mary?
Oh, that's funny. By the way, Patty Ann's on the phone.
I'm on the phone.
Welcome,
hi,
Patty.
How are you?
Thank you.
Okay, how are you?
Thank you so much, Patty.
We're talking about how Mary helped the two of you handle all of this.
I was about to say, someone's trying to call through while we're talking, and it's the woman who really got us involved as a young couple. Her name is Penny Abruzzi.
Oh, Penny, we know her well. We love her dearly. We know Penny very well.
Well, that's her, and she, in September of 1995, she asked Patty and I if we would have a prayer group for priests and vocations in our home, and that prayer group is still going strong to that date.
Yes.
18 years ago. But Patty Ann could back me up on this side. Oh, that would be our parents that gave
Stephen's mom, my mom was very involved with the Rosary Altar Society, and the Rosary, praying the Rosary was something that was instilled in both of us as children, and it's something that we continued.
And it's amazing when a tragedy occurs, such as what happened to both you and Stephen. Mary came in and helped, huh?
Almost. Well, I guess Stephen just told you I had surgery yesterday.
Yeah, are you all right?
Oh, no, I had hand surgery, and I have a miraculous medal that I wear all the time, and it means a lot to me. And yesterday the hospital allowed me to pin it on my gown, you know, during surgery, and the doctor was kind enough. He understood, you know, how important it was to me, and it just... You know, Mary has been with us this whole time. So,
And she never abandons you. Never.
No, she hasn't.
And you both, you guys, have been so inspirational to so many people. I'm sure you've touched many, many lives, and in the way you portray yourselves, and the way your spirituality, and your love for Jesus and the Blessed Mother. It's really inspirational. It really is. And
well, when I was shot and transported from Metropolitan Hospital up in Harlem, downtown to Bellevue Hospital, that's what greeted me in my moments where I would wake up out of the anesthesia and the trauma was Patty Ann and our family praying the rosary. Patty Ann was befriended very quickly by the late mayor, Ed Koch, and Cardinal O'Connor. So Jesus and Mary were, at least my recollection, my memory of those critical hours after the shooting was that our faith is what was supporting us and carrying us at a very difficult time.
What would you say to other couples who have such tragedy come into their lives? You turned the tragedy into a blessing in many ways, even though I know it was very hard. What would you say to couples?
I'm sorry. You know, I would say that, you know, our faith is something that was, like Stephen just stated, and is something that was extremely important to the both of us. And respecting each other and talking, you know, communication, I think, in any situation is very important, and to be there for each other. I know Stephen was the one that was shot, but he's given me support and guidance through this whole thing as well. Giving each other support and being there for each other.
And I would think allowing each other to fail, to make mistakes, to struggle, and then the only thing that helps in situations like that is believing in something greater than ourselves. We know a lot of people that have lost their faith in God, and when you're hit by a tsunami of emotions when someone passes unexpectedly, or a family crisis occurs, I can't. Looking back throughout our lives together, we're together 30 years as a couple, and it'll be 28 years in November. We'll be married. It's been our Catholic faith, our Christian
absolutely
faith, the church.
And that's why we really wanted you on as well, Patty, because of caretakers. And you're not a caretaker, you're a wife.
But even besides that, this is all driven by love, by your deep love for one another, your deep love for Jesus, and your deep love for the Blessed Mother. This is what's driving everything, and this is what's giving the way to go through all this stuff.
And I just remember years back, Cardinal O'Connor, who was a very dear friend of ours and a huge supporter of Stephen and myself, and he said to us, it's also accepting the graces, accepting it and being able to, because unfortunately, there are people out there that, it's just circumstances, happen in their lives, and it's the acceptance and, given the graces and accepting those graces to be able to go on.
And a lot of people.
And he made it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. He made it clear to Patty Ann first, and then she helped me to understand it. It had to be our belief in, again, something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah, and that was
than
love.
Ourselves.
Yes.
And, when people are hit with stuff like this, they say, where are you, God? How did you really find God in the midst of this? That's what they say, there is no God. If there was a God, he wouldn't let stuff like this happen.
Well, even more so now, I say there definitely is a God, because Stephen and I are here.
It's wonderful.
27 years this July, Stephen was shot, and if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. And with the family and friends that have supported us, and we've allowed them to be there for us and help us. I mean, I think that's, something also that's very important.
Patty Ann found a saying that I believe explains what you're asking of us, and it went, and I don't remember when she gave it to me, but I believe in it wholeheartedly, and it goes, in life there are no such things as coincidences. There are only God incidents. And Pope John Paul II said, in the designs of Providence, there are no mere coincidences. And recently when I was out speaking, someone said, Stephen, here's another, that Albert Einstein once said, coincidences are God, acting anonymously. So I think we were sensitized to and made aware of God's intervention in our lives. Those early hours after the shooting, right through, as Patty Ann said, to the present day, those God incidents.
Well, I just yesterday I was extremely nervous about the surgery. Obviously, anytime you have any type of medical procedure, and the nurse comes in, and it turned out it was a woman that lives here in town that I know.
Yep.
Oh.
And I said, "Oh my gosh, this is a God incident. God knew that I was so." And she walked in, and she was there in the recovery room when I came out, and it was, and another nurse from the town was there, and it was just, that's just a little example of what I say is a God incident.
And she was sent by the Blessed Mother, and there are no coincidences in situations like this. And so the Blessed Mother's been looking over you.
You know what I'm curious about? You went to Medjugorje a few times. Yes. How in the world did you ever do that?
Well, let me tell you, that was a miracle. Steve, but I have to tell you, I mean, we had some interesting stories along the way, but he, what, last year, Stephen, when he went to Texas, that was worse than, I mean, the trip just to Texas, I mean, going to Medjugorje was a lot easier than going to Texas.
But for listeners, Medjugorje is in Croatia. It's a real long, hard journey.
And it's a three-hour ride once you get off the plane.
Right, so tell us what happened.
You fly from here to Germany.
Yeah.
And then from Germany, you go on Croatian Airlines to, we flew in Dubrovnik.
Right.
And then from Dubrovnik, it's, as you say, it's a three-hour
ride. And it's not an easy ride. It's hilly and rocky and shaky.
Can I tell you about it? I hope you understand again what we're talking about. And Patty Ann, she was awarded the Mother Seton Award up at the College of Mount St. Vincent in May of 87, and she, before a full class of graduates in their family. Mayor Kosh, Cardinal Carnegie, quoted St. Paul and his thought about we walk by faith and not by sight. When I was in Medjugorje with Patty Ann in 08, it was a terribly hot day, and I was being overwhelmed by the heat. So Patty Ann said, why don't we go over into the Franciscan bookstore? And when I rolled in, I started looking at the different things in the store, and I turned around, and there's this beautiful oil painting of Our Lady. And I knew right away I had to have it. And while I'm there looking at it, I heard a couple come up behind me and say, oh, honey, isn't that a great picture? And why don't we buy it? It's like, oh, no, I have to. So I made it clear that I wanted it, and Patty Ann was kind enough to give it to me, a gift, and we brought it back to the bed and breakfast. And Matt Tay, this friend of Penny's, he's the owner of it. And we said, how can we get this home? And he was running through his mind, DHL, Federal Express, UPS, going to the airline. That's what we finally went to the airport in Dubrovnik, and Matt Tay, Penny, Patty Ann were asking them, how can we bring this on board? And they were afraid to crane it and put it underneath. So, long story short, Our Lady flew first class in her own seat in Croatian Airlines. And then, to top that off, and Patty Ann will tell you, they put her in her own first class seat in Lufthansa Airlines back to JFK. So, if that little, eyes of faith, if that doesn't show you the power of heaven and the love of Jesus for his blessed mother.
Oh, absolutely.
She flew first class.
And the painting, when we came home, we have it's right as you walk in. It's in our dining room. And the dining room, living room, it's all like one big room. And it's very prominent. You walk in, you can't miss it. And it was like it was meant to be there. So, of course, people comment on the picture, so then we tell them the story that Stephen just said, you know, how she flew first class all the way from Medjugorje. And people are amazed that the airlines did that, but they knew themselves how important it was. So,
What drove you to go to Medjugorje, Stephen? Because that must have been a horrendous trip for you.
Well, it's funny. I can tell, in my life when I've been challenged by the enemy, the evil one, and little subtle things, that try to take a piece out of you.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my thinking, Adam.
Yes.
I'm aware of something other than heaven, good, Our Lady, Our Lord. There is something that's, it's evil. It has a name, and we were coming back through one of the airports in Germany, I don't know, Munich or Frankfurt, and the TSA people in Germany took me out of my wheelchair. Not that they're evil, but I could see evil in the workings that they took me out of my wheelchair and laid me on the ground because they wanted to examine my wheelchair, thinking that there was something mischievous or bad. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah.
Is it a challenging endeavor to go from here to Bosnia or Croatia?
It was for me, and I can walk. Yeah,
and it was for me.
And Lord, I've been to Lourdes many times, and you could, for my thinking, I can see being challenged by this world and evil. When I was first shot, a man walked into our hospital room in Bellevue. This was the fall of 1986, and he came with a tape. And he said, you've got to go to this place, Medjugorje, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, is appearing. And the great thing's happening. I was like, buddy, I can't even get out of my hospital bed. I can't go down the hallway. I can't get out to walk around the streets of New York. I can't go home to our apartment in Long Island. And you're asking me to think about moving myself to some foreign country. It was just so out of my way of thinking the possibilities in life. But it just shows you, if whatever this world has to throw at you, challenge you with, whether you believe it's evil or something else, if you can keep your eyes, for the most part, on Jesus and Mary, there are rewards for that.
Yes.
How did they show themselves to you, Stephen? What did they do?
I'm sorry?
How did you know that you were walking with Mary and Jesus? How did you know that?
I have to believe it.
Yeah.
Patty and I were surrounded. And in those early hours after the shooting, right through the present day, I have to. If the fruits of it are good things, holy things, things that are working for God's plan in my mind. And I'm not a very smart guy, but Patty Ann helps me to see that and believe that all this time. It's in my heart, and in my heart forms my head that this is of God.
Yes, and nothing is impossible with the love of Jesus and the Blessed Mother. And you're perfect proof of that.
And, you know, we have a lot of younger people, 20s, 30s, who are here listening at times, and they don't believe in God, and they don't believe that He can help, or that there's, you're wasting your time praying to Mary. You got to be kidding, that kind of thing. And I know you have a son. Did some of this rub off on him?
Oh.
I think it has.
Yeah.
I think that he has been brought up, and, you know, in this household of, you know, going to church, praying the rosary.
Yeah.
But I think you also have to allow young adults to, you know, as a young adult, he needs to also make his own...
Find
his
way.
His own choices.
Sure.
And I think you just have to instill those values and beliefs. And, I think we have, and I think Connor, as a young adult, has you know, he goes to church, you know, when he's here, he doesn't live at home. He's on his own right now, living someplace else. You know, he lives with another friend. But when he's here, he does pray the rosary with Stephen and I, and he knows how important it is, you know, as a family.
And you've instilled family values in him from day one.
Yes.
And those family values stood with him, and they will stay.
And you just hope and pray that, you know, the forces that are out there, you know, that he has enough of that instilled in him that he makes the right choices.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say that.
Go ahead.
Connor went to St. Agnes Elementary School, the Brother Fox Latin School. He graduated from Chaminade High School. He's a graduate of Boston College. He has 16 years of, and I remind him of this all the time, of the best education, Christian, Catholic education out there. And you better believe those, I think the saying for the Chaminade boys is that you do the right thing even when people are not watching.
Right.
And they live like that.
And that's wonderful. And he has to look and say, my mom and my dad are nuts.
Well, I don't think so, Palmer. You know why?
No, you know what? Let me just finish.
Go ahead. Because but I want to say something.
Because I pray a lot, and I have now two children of my own and a stepson, and they're grown, and they know I'm a religious nut, and I give workshops and whatever, and I know in their hearts they say, you're nuts, but you know what? They find their way. My son, for example, Michael, tells me, and I didn't know this, I listen to your program every week.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that something?
And I found out that my son listens also.
See? You know, and so what we're saying is, if you model a life with God for your children, somehow or other, it'll get through to them.
Absolutely. And isn't Connor a police officer?
Yes, he is.
And isn't that the perfect example of family values?
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say that, you know, again, this is, it's even hard for my loved ones to hear me talk like this, but we live at a time of great spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Mm.
And the forces of good and evil are battling for our eternal souls, our future with God. And this was, the idea of this has been taken away from us by contemporary culture. Satan himself, I once heard a great quote from a film that said, the greatest act of evil that Satan ever committed was to convince us that he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the shadows, he steps out and does these terrible things, like attacking family, attacking our priests and religion, all of that.
And it's amazing. He knows where your weaknesses are, and he'll come after you big time.
Relentless.
And he doesn't give up. I've shared this prayer, but you guys haven't heard it. I have a prayer against the evil one, and it's very simple. Jesus, would you take that pitchfork and put it where the sun doesn't shine and get him the hell out of here? Because he's such a pain in the neck. He never lets up.
No, he's relentless, and he knows he's going to lose. He knows.
Well, as one relentless. Of my, Patty and I had a nurse who worked there. She was a Christian of a different denomination, and she would always remind me, Stephen, Satan is a defeated foe.
Yes,
that was her words, and I and I hold on to that. Because he is going to lose
that. He knows it.
And you know, in my prayer life,
I just, I have to jump off because I have to do something that the doctor had asked me to do with my hands.
Patty,
I hope you don't mind.
No, it was an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll play handball when your hand finishes.
God bless you, Patty. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Oh, well. Go ahead.
10 months after Our Lady appearance, that first appearance on June 24th to 25th of 1981, Our Lady in April of 1982 appeared to one of the young teenage girls. And in the appearance, she was there, and as all of the visionaries through time have said, she's more beautiful than words can describe, more beautiful than our human minds can get our heads around. And then
absolutely.
And those appearances, time is lost. We don't know what it's like. You don't think about time. And she was talking to the visionary, and then she disappeared. And all of a sudden, Satan was there in front of the visionary, and she said it was so horrible to look at.
Yeah.
Felt as if she was going to die. Yeah. And then Satan disappeared, and our Lady came back, and she said to the young female visionary, Jesus wants you to know that Satan exists, that he's real, that he asked for this time to test the church, meaning us, the three of us, your listeners, the institutional church. And there was a little list of things that would happen in this, Our Lady called it a century of Satan. And, you know, some people, when they hear me talk, like to say, they say, well, Stephen, why? Why would God allow that to happen? But it has happened. Look at Job. Satan asked for that. Time to test Job's faith.
And Mary,
so there is a precedence. And our spiritual weapons against us Catholics, and we have to let
absolutely
the world know, is the Eucharist, the Rosary, our prayers, all of that. That's what's going to defeat Satan. Love is going. Christ-like love, Our Lady's love. That example for us is going.
Absolutely.
To overcome the evil and Satan,
you know,
in
Steve,
our lifetime.
Stephen, we love to, I love to play music. Everybody else pulls their hair out. But there's a song that I have that I'd love to play because I think it fits what we're talking. It's Mother Mary. Listen to the words. We'll be right back. Don't go away, Stephen.
I was scared. I was frightened. But you sent your love down to comfort me. I was lost. I was afraid. Then I felt your presence there. Mother Mary, you protected me. You gave me strength for the trials ahead. Warmth of peace, cool serenity. You put my mind at ease, and you heal my pain. I was down, oh, I felt helpless, and I felt like I was abandoned. I felt pain like none before. Then I felt your presence there. Mother Mary, you protected me. You gave me strength for the trials ahead. A warmth of peace, cool serenity. You put my mind at ease. The Lord is surely with you. Blessed are you among all. And blessed is your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
I know you felt that, Stephen, in your lifetime. Tony and I,
that
and
was beautiful.
Trevor, who does our engineer, he's felt that. Something comes in from, if you want to call outer space, if you want. You feel a presence. Isn't that what you got, Stephen?
Ask that question one more time.
Did you feel the presence of God?
Oh, yeah.
See, people don't understand that.
Well, yes, the answer is yes. Throughout my life, when I've been happiest or most faithful, certainly being faithful is more important than successful. As Mother Teresa of Calcutta reminds us, were the times when I was, my mind, my heart were opened to God's voice, God speaking to me, and that's before the shooting, the moment of the shooting. And all these years that have followed the shooting, I just wanted to put a plug in for my mom. She just passed in January.
Oh, sorry.
And when my mom and dad moved. I'm one of eight kids. We moved from Queens Village to Rockville Center in 1964, August. July, August of 1964. My mother started up a rosary prayer group in our neighborhood in Rockville Center, and the women of the neighborhood joined her for that time. It, right through, she lived in the co-ops across from the library when she passed away, and there were several women in that cooperative who were praying the rosary with her once a week until her death. So I would say that my parents' love of God, this country, all that police officers do for the community, that's what sustained me. And one other example for you, I learned much a year more later after I was shot, that where I stopped to question the boys in Central Park, if you go there today, there is a historical landmark placed in the ground, not for me in that terrible event, but before there was a Central Park in the mid to early 1800s, the first American-born saint of the church, Elizabeth Ann Seton,
yes,
her Daughters of Charity, built a convent right where I was shot. And it was called McGowan's Pass back then. And that's where the young boy took out his gun and shot me several times. So I thought later, after I learned that that's where I was shot, that what better place to start a very difficult journey on that really holy ground. Those beautiful sisters, their lives of faith and service to God.
Yes.
And the community, that's, I believe in all those things.
How did you ever forgive the person who shot you?
From the earliest moments, again, I'm sorry to repeat myself.
It's all right.
My mother, Patty Ann, my dad, my Patty Ann's family, new friends, they were reciting the rosary. They knew the only thing that was going to save me was our faith in God. As good or weak as it was what was going to sustain us. That's what my dad. They knew it instinctively. They knew in the quiet of their hearts that they had to call out to our Lord and our Lady. And then when the Cardinal arrived a day after the shooting, and I mean this in the very best sense of word, the phrase, he fell in love with Patty Ann. And he said, Patty Ann, for as long as Stephen's here, I promise you that there will be a priest to say Mass. And that was for the 7-8 months that I was in Bellevue Hospital before they sent me out west to rehab. And my mother, and I believe her devotion to Jesus and Mary sensitized my mother again to what was happening in front of her. And she said they came on a Mass weeks after the shooting, and I was still intubated. And The tubing that's in my neck, my windpipe today, was in my mouth. So it came time to distribute the Eucharist, and the priest, whoever that was, could not get it past the air tube in my mouth. So he touched my forehead with the body and blood of our Lord. And my mom said she knew that Jesus touched me in a powerful way. So all those faith-filled, positive urgings, reinforcements, every day, whether I succeeded or failed that day, it was leading me to this moment in late December of 86, early 87, where I made it known to everyone around me that I wanted to forgive the boy who shot me.
Right.
And that came from heaven. That was a gift from God.
And it healed you.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I wouldn't be alive.
Absolutely.
And today, if I didn't say yes to that.
And your faith is so steadfast, was so steadfast then as it is now, and your love for Mary and Jesus is so exemplifying that people have to be touched by this.
And Steve and Tony had a little bit prepared to talk about Mary. Well, do you want to share some of
it? I don't want to take it away from Steve. I just want to mention that Mary is mentioned, I researched it, over 100 times in the New Testament. And she's originally mentioned in Genesis, in the opening chapter of Genesis, and where our Lord and Creator said that Mary will crush the serpent's head, mm-hmm. and that Mary will be the one that will do the final thing with the devil.
You know, Jesus forgave on the cross, but Mary, I'm sure, forgave those who crucified him.
Absolutely.
Because forgiveness is the key to healing, isn't it, Stephen?
And Stephen followed the pattern of the Blessed John Paul II,
sure.
of Jesus, of Mary. And
I think people, our Protestant brothers and sisters, our Jewish Protestant, our Jewish brothers and sisters, and those who have no faith at all, Satan has placed a wedge between them and our Heavenly Mother. I love this story. Luke Holtz was having a press conference back in the 1990s, and he recruited a quarterback from New York City. And it was the press day, and here comes the young man, and he's all 18 years of age, and right away, the press was attacking Luke Holtz, coach of Notre Dame and university. How could they possibly attend to the religious needs of this young Jewish man? And Lou Holtz, without hesitating, turned and pointed to the Golden Dome, and he said, "You see that lady up there? That little lady up there, she's 100% Jewish." and you know, she is. She is there for everyone.
Everyone.
Christ gave her to us, all of us, at the foot of the cross. And he died for all of us. I'm the one who put him on that cross. My selfishness, my self-centeredness, my sins are the reason he had to die on that cross. And he did that to save me from my sinful ways, so that hopefully one day I would join him and God, the Holy Spirit, the Mother of God, in heaven. What more could we ask for? And for 500 years, you know, this misunderstanding, this lack of understanding that exists between Christians, and then all the other faiths, counting all of time, that is Satan's attempt to destroy us. Why? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. He doesn't want us to spend eternity with God. He chose not to. He knows what awaits us, and the heaviest burden is placed on those of us who are of the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith. So those of us who still believe, we have to maintain that belief, hold on to it for dear life. Hopefully our lives will be a witness to all those others, and will bring them to what we know to be the true faith.
That's absolutely true, Stephen. It's so refreshing to hear this. And I know our listening audience is being spiritually moved by this interview.
And we usually, Stephen, pray for people
who have brought their
petitions to us.
Yes, and you know what? You read my mind. I was going to ask Stephen to pray with us for our petitions. And if you don't mind, Stephen, for our listening audience, because we like to bestow upon our audience the blessings of our guests and let them know how appreciative we are. So,
then listeners, put yourself in the presence of Mary, because she'll lead you to Jesus. And take these few moments to reflect on what we have spoken about all day today with a family that was beset with a tragedy that would have easily sent them to smithereens, but they stayed together.
A perfect example of family values.
So, Jesus, we ask you, release the love of Mary's immaculate heart and link it with your love through your sacred heart. And through that unity and love, Lord, go out across our airwaves. Touch every listener who says they can't forgive. And touch every listener who says, it's impossible, I can't make it through today. And take away that voice of evil in the hearts of many people. It's there in all of our hearts. That interferes with the freedom and the healing that the love of Mary's Immaculate Heart and Jesus' Sacred Heart can give to those who are in need. Stephen, we have a number of people who have physical problems, emotional problems, financial problems, and problems. And we ask, Lord, would you come into the lives of every listener? That includes Tony and myself and Trevor and you, Stephen. Come into our lives and find a way to counteract that voice of evil that does its best to continue to place a wedge between us and your mother and Jesus and God, to Jesus, to God the Father. We invoke the power of the Holy Spirit today, the day before Pentecost, to go out over these airways and strengthen everyone who has all sorts of kinds of problems that get in the way of knowing and feeling and experiencing your presence, Jesus, in their hearts. Your presence, Holy Spirit, in their spirits. And your presence, God the Father, in the wisdom that you impart to them. Touch them now through the power of the Most Holy Spirit. And we ask, Lord, 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 have mercy. Have mercy.
And we ask that you especially bless Stephen McDonald, Patty, and their son, and let them continue to do the good work that they're doing and continue for you to watch over them.
Yeah. And Mary, we know you're a gentle woman. And we know that you're going to join and have people join singing. Hail Mary, gentle woman.
I knew this was coming.
Stephen, we thank you so much for sharing.
Stephen, we love you. God bless you.
And Patty.
Thank you.
And tell Patty I expect to play handball with her.
You got it.
And maybe we'll make it a threesome. I'll be there too. thank you so much.
Stephen.
Bye-bye.
Stephen, we love you. We really do. We love you with our hearts. And Patty, thank you so much. We love you also.
And blessed is the fruit of your womb.
Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Gentle Mother.
management, or owners of